Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve, Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crime. Chicagoland, we have a very exciting program today. It's that time of year to celebrate the 38th annual Chicago Jazz Festival. And we have two artists in studio with us today. And I'm going to have them introduce themselves and tell our audience a little bit about yourselves.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing? My name is Africa Brown.
And I'm Maggie Brown. And we're sisters. We're two Brown sisters.
Okay.
And we're very glad to have been invited to talk about our participation in getting to open up the Chicago Jazz Festival on Thursday, the 1st of September.
Well, before we start discussing the festival, can you tell us about your background?
Certainly. We, one thing that we'll be doing, we're the daughters of Oscar Brown Jr., who is a great singer and songwriter, playwright. And
a native of Chicago,
that's
most
right.
importantly.
Mm-hmm. And he wrote a lot of wonderful material that honors our city. And just, you know, his observations of what Southside cultural life was as he grew up in the 30s and 40s come across in a lot of the songs Dad wrote. And so,
since it is the migration, we are celebrating the migration here in Chicago.
As well, the centennial of the migration.
The centennial of that. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my dad's songs lend itself to that time, that era, and mm-hmm. talks about that and really glorifies it. So we're able to have Brown in Bronzeville is
right.
what it is.
That's what mm-hmm. we're calling our set yeah. for September 1st, and we kick it off that evening at about 6:30, and then we're honored to be followed by Orbit Davis's Chicago Jazz Philharmonic.
And Maggie actually gets to sing with him, too.
Yeah, I joined them for the very end because mm-hmm. I've been able to join them on some of their wonderful productions in the past. So it's we're very excited. And you know,
this isn't our first jazz festival. In mm-mm. fact, our first one was with our father and brother.
Yeah, they were both living.
Wonderful. Yes.
Yeah, that was 1990.
Wow.
And we were still at Pritzker, you know, yeah. I mean, we were still at Petrillo Band Show mm-hmm. back then. Mm-hmm. And we remember Daddy premiered a piece of a lot of lyrics
Charlie
that he wrote
Parker.
To. Yeah, Charlie Parker and some mm-hmm. bebop. So we did that. And then the next time, Africa and I did the Chicago Jazz Festival.
06.
Dad yes. had just passed the previous
right.
year. And we were invited and we did the show then.
It
so now 06 to 16. So yeah, it's
yes,
been 10 years.
Exactly.
It's time.
So it's about time. Yeah. So it's an honor to be here. As well as do that. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us, Ruth.
Well, the Chicago Jazz Festival has always been put together by...
Well, the City of Chicago. What, Department of Cultural Affairs or the,
yes.
the Mayor's Office?
Well, in mm-hmm. addition to the...
what? Oh, Jazz Institute of Chicago.
That's
whom
right.
we love as well. And, you know, we found out a bit of history. We had a great man of the community and artist and Naturopath and
Dr. C. Sidhar Weber.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, sort of breaking down the history of really things would happen in our neighborhood. They just outgrowth of our coming together as a community. There was a man who used to play records out of his garage every mm-hmm. Sunday. And folks would gather until it really became a scene. And then a person like Jimmy Ellis might show up with his saxophone. And I heard Oscar Brown Jr. might show up and say some poetry. And Ketan Mitchell, the artist, and C. Sidhar Weber, the artist, would start painting on the thing. And so this became a scene. That scene is really what they started calling Jazz in the Alley.
Okay.
And, you know, he knows that at that time, there was no city. The city was not doing anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't doing the neighborhood festivals. They weren't doing the jazz festival. And wow. he would contend.
It
and
was a pioneer.
Yeah, and I would have to agree that chances are the city took its lead from what we were doing on the south side, just naturally, that, oh, if we build it, they will come.
Yes.
That's right.
And what'd you say, this is the 38th annual?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's the oldest of the Chicago's free lakefront music festivals.
Mm-hmm. And even though it's not about that, but just the way that the house music party was like that. Mm-hmm. It started behind the museum, just mm-hmm. a few people playing records, and now all of a sudden it is the biggest, one of the biggest things that happens
mm-hmm.
in the city.
Mm-hmm.
In the city.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of revenue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, ladies, you have a lot of music that you've put out for the community. Tell us, how did you get started doing what you do?
Nepotism.
Yeah. Nobody, absolutely, Daddy definitely put us in the show. You were either working the ushers or handing out programs,
yes,
or you were actually in the
right.
show. I know
right.
when I was younger, Daddy had a show and he was at the Blackstone Theater, and the controls for the lights on the stage were at the back of the theater. You pretty much had to sit on the stage to control the lights.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted some theatrics in he and my stepmother's performance. So I'd have to sit on the stage at the back of the stage controlling these lights. And my brother and the pianist would be chiming in with vocals. So after a while, I started chiming in with vocals. And then, you know, next thing I know, he was like, no, you need to come and just sing that part anyway, for, even without light controls. So that was one way for me. And you tell him yours.
Well, okay. Evolution of the Blues mm-hmm. would have been mine. I was very small, probably like 3 or 4.
Wow.
And Dad would finish the show out. He would walk out into the audience and end it up in the balcony. So one time I was in the balcony and he picked me up during the ending of that show and the audience went crazy. So, you know, I set myself there every end of the show to make sure
I will get picked up again tonight.
Picked up for that. And of course I was in The Beginning, which was a play Dad did back in 1978.
Yeah, The Body Politic Theater.
Mm-hmm. My sister was in it.
I was an understudy.
Yes, mm-hmm. and my mother was in it. My father, my brother was
Talk
a
about
family
nepotism,
affair.
Baby.
My cousin, everybody yeah, right, was in this play. So, yeah, I got my start pretty early. I was about 7.
Yeah, uh-huh. She won a Joseph Jefferson Award for her performance in
at
the tender age of 8
mm-hmm.
years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, Africa, and really myself a little, you know, it was kind of a little more in theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why people recognize the theatrics in our performance, in our singing, in mm-hmm. our concerts as
because
well.
Because you started very young as well.
That's
and
true.
And we were trained in the theatrics.
Mm-hmm.
So
we
tell a story.
It.
We're not just going to stand there and tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Got to act it out a bit.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, as you mentioned, this is the centennial of the Great Migration.
Mm-hmm.
How are you involved in that?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I am close with Paula Robinson and Barbara Kinsey and Sandra Bivens and people that are part of the forming committee, the formulative
mm-hmm.
committee
people in
of
our
that.
Community.
Yeah, and so I've been meeting with them and just found out that because of this movement, this effort to spotlight and highlight and educate about the Great Migration, I had already started writing a song that I would perform for young people when I would go to schools and do this edutainment show about the history of black music.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, when I found out about this effort to have a big celebration, it will span a year and a half, I said, oh, well, let me go back to that song. So
she developed it wonderfully.
Yeah, it's developed
becoming,
a really nice song.
Yeah, it's
and then
something wonderful called The Great Migration.
Yeah, what makes it a great migration, asking a question. And so It should be the theme song. You know, it is the theme song for this movement, yet, you know, just haven't been able to get it pressed up and get it off. I sent it to some radio stations, but, you know, these days, there's just a a commercial corporate aspect of things in radio. And so
if you could get it to go viral, you'd be
so that's another thing, is that we've needed to create a video for it. And if we created a video and put it up on YouTube, we have a better chance of that happening.
Making popular. So she's been very involved in the migration thing, and just in the fact that our family is so connected in that. My grandfather, Oscar Brown Sr., as you know, he definitely started some things by coming to Chicago from Mississippi.
Edwards, Mississippi.
He was in Edwards, Mississippi. So they were, he and his brothers, there were five of them, and they were very much establishing themselves in Chicago during that time and did some wonderful things. My grandfather, he helped found Ida B. Wells.
Well, yeah, he was the first manager of Ida B.
And Sidney, Uncle Sidney, he was... He wrote House of Alpha. There are just so many connections of our family with this city, especially.
With Bronzeville, with this city, grandfather and his brothers coming and just helping black people at a time when we couldn't, you know, we had to have our own banks, our own life insurance, and our own casket companies and so forth, because white folks weren't doing business with us. He helped with Supreme Life. He helped start Baldwin Ice Cream and Parker House Sausage.
And people in our family helped start the bank,
Illinois Service Federal Bank,
and it's a black-owned bank, still a black-owned bank.
Yeah.
So these things,
one of
that,
few.
Yeah, one of few, one of two. Being involved in the migration story and helping promote that is, it's almost a call of duty.
It is.
We have to do
because
that.
Because we look at the metropolis that they created back in the days of, say, our father's heyday, and there were a lot of things to do, you know. But when we look at, say, 47th Street now or 35th Street now, there's not a lot of activity. Say a tourist, a visitor came. It's like, okay, we got off the bus and we started walking. Well, you know, other than a clothing shop, a liquor store, and, you know, the McDonald's.
And another liquor store.
You know, and a gyro shop, there's the museum isn't necessarily open. There's, you know, the theater.
The Regal.
Right. And so we want to take the treasure trove of material that our father left. We want to take the rich history that our grandfather instilled in us. And
to come to our own economic rescue.
Yeah, and create things. There's plenty of things to do. There's plenty of good shows for young people to come and be in and, you know, entertain audiences and enrich themselves in so doing. And so, we're hoping some of those vacant lots or vacant storefronts and spaces all around will become accessible so that we can...
Because as our father always said, there's gold in the ghetto.
Yeah.
There's talent and wonderful people, they just need a platform. Place to be somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, I want to remind our audience that if you go to the www.chicagolighthouse.org/radio, please click on podcast, and we have interviewed Barbara Kinsey and Paula Robinson, and they discussed this in a lot of detail, and it is a good backdrop for going to the Chicago Jazz Fest for this Labor Day weekend and checking out the performances. Now, the date that you will be performing is
Thursday, September 1st.
It's 6:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just say 6 so you can get there.
O'clock.
Get your spot. And you want to catch Orbert Davis.
CPD.
He's been commissioned to do a piece on the Great Migration. So that's going to be an unveiling that we can't wait to witness. And as I said, we're going to feature Oscar Brown Jr. material that first celebrates the beautiful city by the lake and all the attractions of Chicago.
Which comes from Great Nitty Gritty.
Yeah,
it's a play that was really centered around Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It was about Chicago life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful songs in it about the city, about the tallest towers, and...
the Windy City.
Yes, things like that.
And having a little Second City blues. And then we're going to move into, kind of move to the South Side and look at the Bronzeville,
the street cries,
the Watermelon Man, and, the Rag Man, and
things,
how Daddy took those sounds and sights and turn them into some of his most famous songs.
Wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, as we ask our audience to enjoy all of the music that is coming to the Jazz Festival this weekend. Can you tell us what are some of the genres that they will experience? You know, when we say jazz, it's not monolithic.
No, that's true. Well, even what I observed from what Mr. Davis is doing with his group, they're going to cover the gamut. His movement, it gets funky, it has gospel, it's jazzy and bluesy, and it's going to have a New Orleans feel. So that by the time, you know, you finish Thursday night with all we're doing, we got show tune kind of stuff, and then we're going to go, like I said, to the south side and get bluesy and end up with my
calypso-y type of thing going on.
End up with my the migration song is, you know,
what is that?
I don't know, it's contemporary. It's more contemporary.
It's contemporary.
And
okay.
So you figure with some of the other greats, you know, I know there's going to be some salsa. I know there's going to be some, you know, Afro-Cuban kinds of styles, as well as having not looked at the full lineup. I know Mwata Bowden, he's going to be doing something great. And
now, he'll be coming in on Thursday as well, probably before
you. Is that right? Is it
you?
In the daytime that Thursday? Okay, yeah.
So we want to invite people to come out very early enjoy a full day
of
music.
Right. You sure can. Right. It's not relegated to the evening. That's right. The Jazz Fest starts in the day.
And the park
There's
is
so
wonderful.
There's so much young people. There's so many young jazz ensembles and young people pursuing this art form. And they're getting featured on days like this. You're going to have so many of the high school bands and Park District jazz bands that will be featured in the early parts of the day all throughout the Jazz Fest, opening up for us on the main stage. So that's one beautiful thing that Jazz Institute of Chicago does, and with the help of the
Davis
mayor.
Davis is doing those things too with young people.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, they bring
so
the young people along.
It's so important for us to feature them and showcase them. And Maggie, she invited a young brother who is about 15 years old, and he plays the drums so wonderfully, and it's just such a joy to have him on the stage with us. And if we all do that more as artists, then we're paving the way for these people and these young men to come up and young women to come up and take the place of who we're missing, because we're missing a lot of music, at least in our family.
Well, Chicagoland, please go to www.jazzinchicago.org and you can pull up the full schedule for the Jazz Fest for 2016, this 38th annual. And I'm going to hand you, Maggie, what's going on for Friday, September 2nd? And if you could share that with our audience.
Okay, sure. It's that on the 2nd, the evening will culminate with the bass legend Charlie Hayden's politically charged Liberation Music Orchestra.
Wow.
And so, yeah, Hayden's longtime collaborator and arranger Carla Bley, and it's going to feature electric bass from Scott Coley. So they have a stellar band and doing some revolutionary things. Now, it's also going to entail influential composer, arranger, saxophonist Benny Golson, because Philadelphia-born hard bop pioneer is responsible for several of the most played standards in jazz, including stuff like I Remember Clifford, Killer Joe, Stablemates, and Along Came Betty. He also helped pave the way for jazz composers in the world of film and television, spending years writing for shows like what's that Africa? M star A star S star S.
That's Bob Hope. Oh,
no, Mission Impossible. Oh. That was MASH.
Oh,
that was
the
MASH music, and he wrote.
Wow. Oh my God, he wrote that?
That's what it says.
We were just talking about that, and how I told my kids, I said, do you know that this music, this Mission Impossible music, I remember being little, and that little, it was like a little piece of dynamite that would be burning while the music would go. That's such a long time ago. And right now, I mean, that is like, there's a new movie out called Mission Impossible. I'm like, what? How is it new?
It's been around.
It's been around.
Yeah, so the 2nd is going to be deep with that Benny Golson tribute.
And then I can't wait.
Yeah, the 3rd, you got an Israeli-born saxophonist and clarinetist, Anat Cohen, and her quartet.
Wonderful.
Okay, in case y'all didn't know Anat.
Yeah,
Anat is not a male. That's right. One of the most exciting bands in modern jazz. Classically trained. She's going to meld things. So now, what are you going to get? You're going to get Israeli-influenced electrifying jazz together with classic stuff from Benny Golson, together with the revolutionary Charlie Hayden stuff. So yeah,
because that's the wonderful thing about jazz.
Right, get your chair and your cooler and hang out.
Right, right. That's beautiful.
And remember, this is all family oriented.
Free.
All free.
Yep. Family
oriented. Come sit out in that park, and that's wonderful.
And so you want to come early, enjoy the young groups that are on.
Right.
Early in the day.
That's right.
Because there will be a lot of young people experiencing jazz.
And I think they still have that family stage, too.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
And so that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's important. It's great.
And ladies, tell us a little bit about the song we will be closing out with today.
Okay. Well, we mentioned earlier that I had already started writing a migration song. I just wanted to influence the young people that I came before to understand and hopefully let it sink in the importance of the Great Migration. That it's not just some old thing they talk about in history books. Oh, this affects you, darling. It hasn't been that long. My grandfather, my father, me. And now my children. So we're just four generations into this experience, having come from Mississippi, settled in Chicago. You know, and so this is my effort to take the influences of my father and my grandfather and the history that I've learned and that I appreciate and try to put it in words in a way that young people would think is hip.
Okay. Now, we want to remind everyone the dates for the Jazz Festival is September 1st through the 4th for the 2016 Chicago Jazz Festival, 38th annual. And we also want you to tell us, how can we contact you if we want to hear your music? Where will you be performing around the city?
Well, I wish that I could say more, but I know I'll do the Hyde Park Jazz Festival at the end of September in Hyde Park on September 24th. And just Africa and I have started some activities at a place that's called the Blue Gargoyle. Yeah,
and that's
in Hyde Park on 57th and University, rather. And so we will be doing some more concert series there. That'll be one sort of stable place that you can find activities that we're doing. And mostly she and I have been working on working, you know, getting work. Some things are freed up in the court system that allow us to do more with our father's material.
Beautiful.
So we're going to be busy just doing that and honoring him, because as I said, he would have been 90 on 10-10-2016. And so that's an excuse to make Chicago make it the year of Oscar Brown Jr.
Okay.
So ETA is going to do one of his plays. We're working on more places, either featuring his shows, his music, do some readings.
And we're approaching After School Matters, trying to get different plays you know, done by children. And as we did before in the past, it was very successful. We did Great Nitty Gritty through After School Matters when Dad was alive, and again when he...
After he passed,
yeah.
Well, what I'd like to ask you ladies is if you will promise our audience that you will be back for a tribute to your dad. We're going to discuss a lot of the music as well as the plays that he made available for the Chicagoland and for the world. And we also would like to... you'd consider doing a reading on air for us.
Oh, that's no problem.
We'd love to do that.
Right up our alley.
Okay.
We'd love to come back in October because, as I said, we'll be in this celebratory mood.
And to get more information about the September 1st through 4th Chicago Jazz Festival 2016, please go to www.jazzinchicago.org, or you can call the Jazz Institute of Chicago at 312-427-1676. And I'll say that again, 312-427-1676. Chicagoland, we have been very blessed to have these two very talented ladies joining us here on Building Community, Strengthening Nations. Say your name again.
Okay.
In a melodic tone that only you can do.
You first.
Okay. Well, I'm Maggie Brown.
My name is Africa Brown.
And we are
two brown sisters.
Thank you, ladies. We will see you at the Chicago Jazz Festival.
Great. See you there.
Have a good week, Chicagoland. Bye now.
I wish you'd listen. I wish you'd listen.
I'll tell you what makes it y'all say.
What makes it a great migration?
It's that folk back then would travel great distances to secure a future of positive instances. And though the journey was filled with danger, keeping faith in what's unseen to my people is no stranger. Did I mention all the miles that they covered in search of their hopes and dreams to discover? Seeking a life free of grueling labor and an opportunity to taste the city flavor. The way that it moved people out, out from the sharecropper life of the South. You what makes it y'all say?
What makes it a great migration?
I'll tell you what makes it, ask me.
What makes it a great migration?
That people made a new start in their life so that their children wouldn't have the same strife. It gave a chance for a better education to move black people forward for the new generation. The music grew up as people moved out into new frontiers and venues, no doubt. The jazz got a college education, which led to international migration. Jazz spread through cities and across the seas. Without segregation, racism could freeze. The music led to more communication, helping improve human relations.
The fact that it came with a price, the price of many an American's life. The fact that it helped them to see jazz improvisation made the people feel free.
I'll tell you what makes it, ask me.
What makes it a great migration?
I'll tell you what makes it, y'all say.
What makes it a great migration?
New landscapes gave way to seizing opportunity when folks first arrived to build a new community. My people faced struggles and injustice. In spite of odds, we came up winning. You can trust this. Y'all see proof in the metropolis that flourished, making way for the movement which was nourished. Building on unity, forging revolution, standing up for our future. They were marching towards solution.
The fact that it came with a price, the price of many of black